morning. It's good to be together this morning, and I want to invite you as we begin to turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 13. And as you're turning, I'm going to invite Brock and Jenny and Jessup to come on. You guys can. Brock and Jenny are here to share with us about a really exciting program and a way that we might be able to connect with them. And so, you want to start with the video or get to use that?
Bible to School is a nonprofit organization that equips communities and churches to teach the Bible to children attending public school during their school day. We make it easy for passionate leaders to activate a Bible School program for their local public school. This program really helps families. It makes it convenient for children to learn about the Bible, especially if they aren't able to attend church. We teach community leaders how to build caring relationships with children and create a safe place where they can ask spiritual questions. Many of our children don't know simple Bible stories, such as David and Goliath or Jonah and the whale. And children have good spiritual questions like, where do I come from? What's my purpose? What happens after I die? We answer those questions and more from a biblical perspective.
The three main goals of Bible to School are to introduce children to Jesus, to grow them in their faith, and connect children to the greater church community. We have this great privilege through federal court rulings to teach children the Bible. There are three legal requirements release time programs like ours must follow. We need to meet off-site of the school, we must obtain parental permission, and no taxpayer dollars can be used.
The impact we see is amazing. We see lives are changing. Parents, school teachers, principals are telling us they see the difference in their children. They're kinder and more caring toward others. They have a peace that was not there before. These children are connecting with what Jesus taught, to love God and love others. Imagine if we could activate a Bible school program in every state, every county, in every school, in your school. What a difference we can make. Together, we can have a tremendous positive impact in our nation. Come join us.
Do you want me to start, or do you want to start?
Yeah, go for it.
Well, first of all, good morning. Just as a brief introduction, my name is Brock Jessup. This is my wife Jenny, and I am teaching at the elementary school. I'm the PE teacher at the elementary school, and for the last 8 years, I was at middle school in Nampa, teaching public school PE there as well. And my wife and I grew up here in Idaho, and ever since just being in school. As a teacher, the thing that's missing, in my opinion, just the gaping hole, is that there is no Christ in public education, obviously. And without that, you just see so many just worldly, chaotic things that can take place. I will say, this being my first full year, I'm going to complete my first full year here at Melba Elementary. This is an awesome school. It's an amazing place. You can feel the community rallying around just faith here and country, things to be proud of. And so anyways, going back in time, coming to my first week of school to work here for the elementary, I was listening to Family Talk, which is a ministry by Dr. James Dobson. And he had Corey, who you saw in the video, Pennymaker, I think is her last name. And it was just, I've been praying and asking God, how can you help me to take a step out in faith to serve you more? And he had her on, and I was listening to the presentation that she kind of gave. She said that they were just a community of moms that wanted to get together and bring the Bible to their school. And I just... listening to it, it was like God was tugging my heart, and he said, you know, you need to be involved in this, see if you can help make it happen. And so I sent it to Jenny to listen to the podcast, and she was like, let's give it a try. So this is our first attempt. You guys are kind of the first people that we've talked to about this. I mean, we've been speaking with Pastor Chris, and our home church is Central Valley Baptist in Meridian, and some of our prayer partners there know that we're, you know, starting to present this information. And so anyways, I think that we'd like to, yeah, just kind of take you guys to the PowerPoint and see if we can shed some more light on it. We are by no means masters of all of the Bible to School curriculum. We are in contact with Bible School. We had a meeting, my wife and I, with the founder of it, and there's a lady that's kind of our, she works with us to help facilitate all this information. So anyways, the mission statement you can see up here, it is to teach Bible to children attending public school and inspire hope, showing them their unique value in Christ, and equip communities across the nation to do the same. The target age range is 2nd to 4th grade. And then when this happens, if you're kind of asking yourself, how does this work throughout the school day? There's about an hour worth of time in their schedule from in the middle of the day. It's their lunch and their recess time. And so, you know, parents would sign off on that, kind of saying, yeah, I'd like to take my kid during that time and get them plugged in to Bible school. It's one day a week. You know, lunch things to think over. Parents could pack a lunch, or we could begin. We haven't talked to the school about this at all. The way the public school has this kind of set up is to build the team first and then pass that off and go and meet with the school board. So we could work out some of those kind of finer details as this thing grows, if it is going to. And then curriculum, worship, and crafts are provided by Bible School once funds are start being put together for that. So, okay, so, yep, Idaho release time is a law, and if you caught that in the video, the way that this works is that students can be released off of the school grounds with parent consent, and then no taxpayer funding can be used. So that makes it legal in the state. And I think just starting off with the why we should do this, 63% of people become a Christian between the ages of 4 and 14. So the soil is rich in kids' lives to introduce Christ to them. And so that's where my heart's coming from on this. Again, just being that you probably saw my three little kiddos. They're back there in Children's Church. Thanks for offering to help out with that. And so, you know, just for my wife and I, this is kind of the life, the stage that we're in right now. And we'd like to, you know, obviously help get this going from a standpoint of our own kids growing up in the Word, but also just to help the community that I'm starting to get plugged into out here and really enjoying. So, again, meeting once a week during the recess and lunchtime hour. So I'm going to turn it over to my wife, Jenny, and she's going to go over the next couple slides.
Okay, so our Bible to School team. So this is where you guys come into play. If you would like to join in on the team, we need prayer warriors, at least 2 to 6 community members that are just willing to pray for this program. We also need pastors, okay, business leaders, parents, and community networkers. So this is going to be a community event, and we need all of you to make it happen. So any help is needed. And then also we need lots of moms to help volunteer. Like I said, it'll be once a week, and so it'll be during the day. So moms probably, I'm a stay-at-home mom. I homeschool the 3 kids, so they're going to be coming with me. If you homeschool, they can also come to this program as well. And then we also need donors. So the startup cost is $1,500, and that's for books and arts and crafts and just the curriculum that the leaders would need. And so the location, I think we're still working on a location. We're not quite sure. Yes. The tower.
Yeah.
So if it isn't the tower, that means that we can just walk the kids over from school. We don't have to fund for buses or anything like that. So we would need parents to help walk the kids from school to the tower. And eventually, maybe we can have some high school students involved as well.
Uh, So once we get the team complete, that's when we would present to the school board, and that's kind of their focus. They say, get your team built and get all of the, you know, I's dotted and the T's crossed to make sure that you're coming at the school board with kind of a bulletproof plan, so that it's not like, you know, a back and forth of, well, what about this, what about this? It's like, here's how all the things work, and that's all planned out. And then, you know, obviously a spreading of the word to the community, which I think we could get that put out pretty easily. I mean, even potentially through newsletters that the elementary school puts together. And then sign students up, Lord willing, fall of 2023. If that's kind of how he moves in all of this, that would be awesome. And when we spoke with the founder of this, she said, would you be trying to get this going as soon as next school year? And we said, let's see what God does. And she said, love it. Let's, you know, I'm with you on that. And then, yeah, like Jimmy said, high school volunteers. If any of this is something that is tugging at your hearts, maybe it's been something God's been calling you to step out, like he has my wife and I, to just take a leap of faith and see what we can build. You guys, like I said, are our first church that we've started in. We're also going to see if we can get a hold of just other churches in the area and speak with them as well, because I know obviously you guys don't represent all of the families in Melba. There's a lot of people, and so the more people we can spread the word to on this, the better. And we're just going to, what we'll do is we'll leave a sign up list with you guys. And my phone number is on there, my email, my personal is on there. And if you want to reach out to us and get a hold of us to ask whatever questions you may have, feel free to do so. And
So on the video, it talks about how the target range is second to fourth grade. And the reason for that specific age range, is there a specific reason that you guys are aware of, or is that just your guys' starting point?
Right. It's just the right age of where people or kids decide if they want to choose to follow Jesus or
It's kind of just
developmentally appropriate kind of age range as well for the curriculum that they've designed for the program. Yeah.
Questions you guys have? It's okay to ask questions.
It's perfectly okay to ask questions.
How do we donate?
Good question. Like I said, this is all so beginning stages that really the thing that we're trying to accomplish probably the most right now is to build that team of people that, you know, Jenny and I are signing up as we're going to help lead this thing and be coordinators. We need, you know, like I said, we need the pastor sign on. Those are things that Bible school says, let's get built. And so we need to make that core group of people come together first to be the leaders of this program. And then once that happens, we will kind of start going out to get the funds that we need. And really, to fully fund it, it's pretty cheap. Is it $1,500? Is that right? So $1,500 starts the full first year of this program, of all curriculum and things that are needed. So on that question, there isn't anywhere to donate to right now. We need to get the team built, and then that way we can have how all that is going to get structured. Yeah.
I think what we could do on that part too is that we could say, okay, if you're interested in donating towards, you could pledge that donation, and then once an established way of donating is made available, then we can do that. So we can do that through our church or through other places as well. But I can speak on behalf of the church that we used the tower when we started the Tower Theater was to be a resource to the community, not just for them to use when they need it, but also to hopefully be a place where the gospel is continued to spread. So we do that through religious release, through community youth group and community men's breakfast. And I think, if you guys think too, that this fits in line with that as well. Yeah. Other questions you might have? Yeah.
That prayer group, is that a maximum of six, or is that just a number?
Obviously, that's not a maximum. It's kind of a weird number, because I think that's kind of been what was the designated like prayer warrior group. So I don't know if that's like a designated meeting time that those two to six people get together and they're just prayer warriors over Bible school. Obviously, the church can be praying about this as well. But it's also another good question, something that I'll write down and make sure that I get back from them. Because that is kind of an interesting number.
There you go.
So the target range is second to fourth graders, but does it include most elementary?
It's second to fourth grade. That's like the start and end point of Bible school program. Yeah.
And they do the grades individually, so second and third and fourth have their own curriculum. They're not together.
Right.
So based off of how many volunteers, we could start with just fourth grade, and then as we get more people involved, we can add the other grades in. But if we have a lot of volunteers, then we can do all three. It just kind of depends on what you guys want to do as a community. So.
Right, yeah, and if we were going to start with one grade, it would probably be fourth, because then we would be able to get to that group first, and then the second, third graders would be able to work their way into that. And then as it grew, you know, obviously going down, working backwards from four to three and then two. So
I watched the videos and I researched the curriculum online, and everything is, the thing I like about it is that it's not exclusive to any one denomination. And that's my heart, is that the church can choose increasingly pursue unity, that we all believe in Jesus and that we pursue that. And I really like that it keeps that foundation just really simple and straightforward from the scripture through just our all basic beliefs. So if you have questions on that, you can also go to the website, which is on there, to Bible to School.
It's BibleToSchool.com. And it is the Bible too, so you can see it up there. That's how you can search that out.
And so, Rock and Jenny are around today, and feel free to ask them any questions. I definitely get their number. As far as a pastor, I support this, and I wanted them here this morning so you can hear it, and then we could have more people being aligned. There's so many things that we can all put on our plates, but there's also that call, ultimately, that we have to be sharing the good news with everybody. That's the great commission that every single believer carries with us. So. I know I wish this was in place when Hannah and Ethan were going through school, but we have a church community, but it's good to have something in the middle week. And it's good, they say that a kid and a youth that has five adults who invest in them, in their faith and in their life, by the time they leave high school and go to college, they're way more likely to stick with the faith and with Christ because they have experience, not just what they've heard and seen mentally, but they've experienced it relationally. And so this is a great opportunity to really cement the faith in the next generations as well. We'll wrap it up. We're going to pray for this right now. I'm going to ask that you guys would stand, and we're going to pray for Brock and Jenny to continue to do it, and then we'll follow up with that. So God, I thank you for Brock and Jenny. I thank you for your heart, Lord, for all of us. I thank you, Lord, if we thought about this morning over and over again, God, that you are so gracious and compassionate. And Lord, you're compassionate on our children, compassionate on us. And Lord, you want us to know you. I think of all the scripture that reminds us to teach our children so that they will hear it and they will see it, Lord, from a young age. And Lord, I pray that as this idea comes forth, this program comes forth, that you will help us, Lord, to gather around it, Lord, if it's your will, that you would advance it, Lord, if it's your will. If you have something different that you want, let that come to light. But Lord, if this is your will, let it quickly grow. Let the team grow. Let the support grow. Lord, we pray in advance for the school board and the teachers and the principal, all those who are involved, Lord, that as they hear this, Lord, that they would already be ready to say yes to it as well. Lord, we pray that you would prepare the finances, prepare even the food, prepare the volunteers. And Lord, use us however you can. We pray in your mighty name, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you guys for coming.
Yes.
To be here. All right. Chapter 13. We are concluding Hebrews today. We've been in Hebrews for months and months and months. And today we wrap it up. You know, I'm grateful for Brock. I got to know him a little bit more throughout the school year because we use his gym for practice sometimes during the season. And you know how when you meet a fellow believer and you just connect, you just know, but they spend time around them, they have a heart for the Lord. And that's what it's like, just to connect easily and quickly. It reminded me of my friend, the dolphin that I met in the ocean. And I was swimming out there and we ran into each other and we just clicked. There you go. We're Hebrews 13, we're wrapping it up. And even though Easter Sunday was last week, and even the Resurrection Sunday, we celebrated last week. We often do that. We do that and we move on. And I think that's a kind of a plague of our culture, is what's next, what's next, what's next, what's next. And you see that at the stores. I don't know what the next holiday is, but the stores do, and they have whatever you're supposed to buy out already. But we're still, we have so much to celebrate. Still, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the most significant news in history. And so we continue to celebrate that. We continue to be excited about it. This is something that is better than any news you could hear. And you don't have to do any of these actions, but it'd be interesting if you did. Because for me, in my heart, when I think about what God's done for me, and when I think about the resurrection, what it means, that's every ounce of hope that I have in life is based on this resurrection. So as we conclude Hebrews, we see that, and we see this passage, and what we see is this blessing. So we're going to read this together. We're going to read it a couple times today. So Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20 through 21, and it says this. Read it with me, please. Now may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will. And may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. As we have said, from day one to day ending here today, Hebrews is all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. It tells us everything about Jesus, and it reminds us of just how wonderful Jesus is. Let's not let this be something that blurs into our thoughts. We've heard it before, and it just falls on deaf ears. Jesus is powerful. He is Creator God. He is the Savior. He's Lord. It is through Jesus that everything came to be, as it says in Hebrews and in John. And it is through him that everything sustains. Everything that's holding together this world, the fact that we're actually finally getting to spring, maybe, is because Jesus is holding it together. And he is the high priest. He is the faithful sacrifice. He died on the cross so that we could be holy. We could be perfect. Not because of anything we've done, because of everything he's done for us. You know how significant that is. That's why it's good news. He is Lord. Yeah, he's Lord. It means we follow him. But he welcomes us as family. It says in Hebrews that he welcomes us as brothers and sisters. And we are brothers and sisters of Christ, and we are sons and daughters of the King of all kings. And that's the good news, is that we're not just some mindless servants or slaves to a mighty God. We are part of his family and part of what he's doing here in this world. Jesus is glorious, and he is good. And because of what he's done, we have this hope in the resurrection. That not just for him, but for us too. The resurrection is for us. And we get to experience the resurrection. And that's the anchor of the soul. I'll tell you, this morning was a really hard morning in the Henry Leiter house. Ethan just woke up, and he was not happy. If you know Ethan, when he's not happy, you know, he's 5'10", 270. And Ethan not happy is a whole lot of not good. And yet, in the midst of that, there's a hope through it that holds us through. And that's that there is a day coming when the resurrection that we will experience comes in full force. And everything that is wrong in this world will suddenly be so very good again. And that's a hope that I have. And that's a hope that holds us through to that. And I hope that's a hope that you're holding on to this morning. If you don't have that hope, then you need to wrap your arms around Jesus and all that he's done for you. As we look, as Hebrews concludes then, what we see is it ends with this really empowering blessing. And I love that as we conclude it today, this last verse that we're going to look at, there's a few things after this. It's kind of housekeeping and saying, by the way, say hi to so-and-so, that kind of stuff. I'm not going to go into that. You can read that. But as it concludes, it ends with this blessing. And I love how it encompasses all that we're talking about with Easter. The blessing reminds us that God is not the God who hates us, but he is the God who is the God of peace. And we looked at that last week. And so we saw last week was this reality, is that every time we sin, it's opposition. God has very good plans. From the very beginning of Genesis, God's plans for us were, say it with me, very good. Not just good, not like, oh, these tacos in Mexico are so good. It's very good. Like the best you can imagine, the intentions and plans for us is what God has for our lives. And yet, sin is rejecting that for whatever reason, because we think we might be able to find a better way. And so every time I sin, I'm acting in opposition to God's plans. And that's why the Bible says that while we're enemies of God, Christ came for us. When we choose sin, we set ourselves up as his enemies, of his kingdom, of his will. You say, I don't feel like I do that. It doesn't matter what you feel like. It's a reality that if I reject God's way and choose my way, then I'm putting myself in opposition. Opposition is war. So as we see this reality, we see that God, though, is the God of peace. God of shalom, the God of mercy, the God of grace. And Jesus came, as we talked about last week, When he came to be God with us, and he crossed into enemy lines. He crossed over enemy lines into our territory. And he came and he took up our flesh, he took up our temptations, he took up our struggle, he took up our pains, he took up our suffering. He didn't do that to destroy us. He came to rescue us. And I talk about this all the time. This is what the gospel is, but we should never be tired of hearing it. This, we should hear it over and over again. What Jesus said is he summarized what his purpose was. He used this passage from Isaiah. We read it in Luke chapter 4, verse 18 through 19, how he quoted it. And if we read this together, it says this: "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind. He has set the oppressors free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Now, if you were blind, friends, blind all your life, and then all of a sudden you could see, you would say that that is really okay. Or would you say that is really very good? You say it was awesome, it's glorious. Jesus came to restore very good to us by bringing us back to God. Came to set us free, to proclaim good news to the poor. And that, of course, leads us to boots. Right? Now, how many of you had a pair of boots as a kid? You still have a pair of boots? I just put my hand down. I did not have this pair. This pair looks way too nice for the pair that I had. I'm pretty sure we got ours from this really expensive store called Payless. And I had these shoes, and as a parent, I fully support Payless because kids grow a size a day, especially certain times of their life. But I had this pair of shoes. Now, I didn't have shoes, boots like Lauren has in the summer, but I had regular boots. Regular boots, not those. Regular boots. And I would wear those around, do anything. But as I would wear these boots, we had this place that we'd go to as a family, and it was our getaway, and we'd go maybe twice a year. It's called Fall River. There was neither waterfalls nor a river, but it was called Fall River. What there was this small lake that was covered in lily pads that had little areas where you could fish and you could hike. And I remember we had this little camper that we would go to, and for the first couple hours, my parents would be mowing down all the tall grass, where my brother and I would take our BB guns, and we'd have our boots on, and we'd go walking down the dirt road. You talk about growing up and having that experience. I hope that just registers with you guys, especially that sense of home and that sense of freedom. We'd do that. Well, then Dad, after we got done, would take us for a walk. We'd go fishing. We'd do other things. One weekend when we were there, it had rained quite a bit, especially. So the road looked a little bit more like this. Now, as a young boy in boots, what do you think I did when I saw those puddles? I jumped in those puddles, and I splashed water everywhere. As a dad, what do you think my father said? Knock it off, right? But he didn't say it in the voice that really meant it. He said in that voice, it's like, "I'm kind of annoyed, but I'm kind of delighted in you." So I kept going, and I kept going. And I came to a puddle just like this, on there, and I jumped in the puddle to splash, and I went waist deep. Apparently a tractor or something had been there before me. You think I would learn my lesson, but then we kept walking around, and we walked in our boots, we walked around, we walked to the lake that was covered in lily pads, and we fished a little, and we tried to skip rocks. If you ever tried to skip rocks across lily pads, it doesn't quite work as well. We walked around, and then we went around to this beach, and we like to hunt rocks and find interesting things. And as we walked on this beach, you think a beach like what you might see with sand, the beach looked a little bit more like this because of all the rain. So me, in my cowboy boots, standing on the beach for a little while, what do you think happened? I sunk, and I got stuck. And I tried to get out of the mud, but I could not pull myself out of the mud. And as I tried to pull, the mud started to sink me in deeper and deeper. So, as any kid would, I called out for it. Dad, help. And my dad, being a good dad, came over, and he came over to pick me up. So he came over to pull me out of the mud. He came and he pulled me, and pop, I came right out of the mud. Not my boots, but I came flying out of the mud. My boots stayed there, and he had to pull those out. Good? I had to surrender to my dad by lifting up my arms and letting him pick me up out of that. We talk about Jesus crossing enemy lines. We talked about surrender. We talked about how Jesus came, and he surrendered his life for us on the cross. That's how much God loves you. He surrendered his life for you. He laid his life down for you. And so as we looked at this, we saw that not only did he surrender his life, but then through the Holy Spirit's power, he was able to take his life back up again. He was resurrected from the dead. Last week we said we need to surrender. to this Lord, to the Savior. And we're going to continue to just look at that just a bit more as we look at this blessing. And we're going to take this turn, this understanding that we're called to surrender to God's grace. Would you say that with me? Surrender to God's grace. What does grace mean? It's something that we hear a lot. We sing about it. We use the word grace is undeserved favor. God's undeserved, or some people say unmerited. God's undeserved favor. In other words, it's God giving me and you something that we can never earn, that we don't deserve. As if we're enemies of God, I don't deserve his love, I don't deserve his intercession, I definitely do not deserve his son dying on the cross for me. Yet God gives that, and that is grace. It's God's giving his favor to me, even though I do not deserve it. So grace is forgiveness, yeah? Grace is resurrection. Grace is new life. It's all these things in one. God gives me forgiveness. I don't deserve forgiveness. He gives me resurrection from the dead. Someday when I die, I do not have to worry about my death because resurrection has already won that battle. And so I get to be with him forever. I have new life in him. I don't deserve that, but he's given that to me. That's all grace. Grace is also new purpose. A mission in life. Grace is equipping spiritual gifts. Grace is this transforming spiritual fruit that we read about in Scripture. Grace is a spiritual family. I don't deserve any of that. I don't deserve you guys. Right? I, as an enemy of God, to then now be here with you all and all your smiling faces, and most of you are still awake. Yeah. God gives me a spiritual family. God gives me fruits by his power. God gives me gifts. If you knew me before Jesus, you would say, he is never going to be somebody who stands in front of people and talks. It's only by his power and his purpose. New purpose. Why I'm here is because of what he's given me. It's all his grace. Grace is all these things. So let's look again at Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20 through 21. Read it again with me, please. Now may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will. And may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. See, friends, a lot of times, and I don't know if this is exclusive to us in the United States, but a lot of times when we think about grace, we think about forgiveness, we think about this shame that we feel over our sin, and we bring it to the altar, and we confess our sin, and we say, oh God, would you forgive me? And God, yes, he forgives us. He forgives us and washes our slate clean. We're like, yes. And then we just go on with life. That's not what grace is intended for, is just to stop at forgiveness. Forgiveness is just the starting line. Forgiveness just puts you in the game. Forgiveness puts you on the field to actually do something. If you are here this morning and you received the forgiveness of your sins, praise the Lord. But if that's all you've received from God, then you're missing out on everything he has intended for you. All of this extra is also grace. But it's part of his plan for your life. It's to be in the race of life that he has for us, as Paul even says. See, the God of peace did not stop working after the cross and the empty tomb. When he was on the cross, Jesus worked for you. On the cross and in his life, he worked for you. But now, Jesus is going to work in you, and he wants to work through you. I just praise the Lord for already giving Brock and Jenny what they were going to say this morning, because they basically sent the message already. God has things for us to do, and he wants to work in you and through you. Yes, he's already done much for us, but there's more he wants to do, and he wants to do it in you, and he wants to do it through you. Are you hearing and are you receiving that this morning? Read again Luke chapter 4, verse 18 through 19. Can we not read this in funeral voices, but in like confident voices, like we're excited? This is what Jesus said. Read it with me, ready? The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. That mission is not done. It's not complete. It still goes on. There are still people who are in bondage, who are in slavery to sin, right? Yes. Yes. Okay. You guys know. They still need to hear the good news. There are people in this world who've never heard the good news of Jesus. And God wants them to hear. Who do you think he wants to use to tell them? Us. All of us. The church. Today, God's mission is not done yet. Rescue and redemption are still the plan. It's still what he's up to. God is still up to reaching the lost, to setting them free. He's still up to being the God of peace at work in this world. And that plan, yes, works to save you and forgive you. Praise the Lord. I'm forgiven of my sins. Awesome. I love that. I'm so grateful. But it also is now equipping me and you to do the same thing for others. In other words, God wants you to be a part of his team of rescue and redemption. Whether you are a middle schooler, elementary school, high school, college, young adult, or the rest of us, God's plan involves you. Okay? Let's look at this blessing specifically. It says, now may the God of peace, it says two things. The first thing it says is equip you with everything for doing his work. That's the first blessing that it gives. After everything Hebrews says, it summarizes all that it has to say in this final blessing. Two sentences. It says, may the God of peace, may he equip you with everything good for doing his work. And the second thing is, may he work in us what is pleasing to him. May he equip you with everything good for doing his will. And then two, may he work in us what is pleasing to him. So again, how we summarize that? Part one is may God give us spiritual gifts. May God give you spiritual gifts and courage and insight to do what Jesus did. So you hear that thing in Luke chapter 4. So that's awesome. That's powerful. I want to be a part of God's rescue. I want to be a part of God's redemption. But how do I do it? God gives the abilities, the gifts, the courage, and the insight to know how to do it. Why am I in Melba? I've asked that question many times. Why am I in Melba? Because God has given me the insight and understanding and gifts to do what he's called me to do. God has something for you as well. Why are you in Melba? Maybe that's a better question. Point two, God is going to give you spiritual growth to become more and more like Jesus. And this is something where we often struggle. We try to measure up on our own. We try really hard to behave. It's not about you trying to behave. It's about you getting to know the God who's going to grow you up. Does that make sense? 1 Corinthians 12 and Galatians 5 are passages you should read later to research that and to understand both, number one, the spiritual gifts, and two, the spiritual fruit, Galatians 5. So let's go back to the mud and the boots. What do you think my dad would have said after he got me out of the boots, then he pulled my boots out, and he washed them off, and he got them back on my feet, if we started walking, and I turned around and went and stood in the mud and got stuck all over? Some of you know my dad. What do you think he would have said? Use your PG version. Do you think he would have been happy with me? No, even if I thought I was funny. No. My dad would not have thought that was funny. He would have thought that was very dumb. That I would be rescued out of the mud. That I cried for him to rescue me from. And then went right back in and deliberately got stuck again. Right? Dad, you with me? Okay. Moms, you too. Why is it that when we accept the forgiveness of Jesus, we tend to go back and just play in the same stuff that got us in the place where we needed to be saved in the first place? Why do we mess around with the mud and the filth of this world that does not bring life? Why do we receive the greatest gift of the universe and then treat it as if it doesn't matter? Why do we scorn the cross and the resurrection? Why would I entertain the sin that enslaved me instead of rejoicing and walking with the Savior? May the God of peace, who saved you, who rescued you, may he now equip you. In other words, may he give you everything that you need. Think of a barracks giving you all the equipment you need for a mission. May he suit you up with everything good so that you can do his will. God has a plan, and he has a will, and he has something for you to do in that, and he has the ability to give you what you need for that. May he do that. That's the prayer. It's a blessing. The second part, then may he grow you up. May he work in us what is pleasing to him. If you don't feel like you're strong enough, if you don't feel like you're good enough, if you don't feel like you're talented enough, then you're in a great place to be because there is a God who can equip you with all of that. And it comes by seeking him, by knowing him. And so we ask this question, and you might be thinking of this morning, you hear Brock and Jenny, you hear me talking, you say, well, how could I ever do this? How could I ever do something for God's kingdom? I'm not called to be a preacher. Well, praise the Lord for that. I'm not called to be a missionary. I'm not called to be a pastor. Maybe you're not called to be anything specific like that. Or if you were, you might be saying, how could I ever do that? Well, it's his work in you. It's not your ability that you somehow offer to him, and he's like, whew, I had this great need, and now that you showed up, I know what to do. No. It's his work in you and through you. So in other words, what you have to offer him is not your talents, your ability. You have to offer him a hand up that says, I'll go. I'll pray. I'll do. So we surrender. It's his hand up. I surrender. You can use me. I will be a part of what you want to do. And friends, I'm not saying this metaphorically this morning. This is actually asking this morning, as we conclude Hebrews, will you raise your hand and say, I'll go. I'll do. I will do what you want if you equip me. So we ask that question, how could I ever do it? By faith and by grace. By faith, I repent, right? By faith, I say, Lord, I believe that you died on the cross. I believe you rose from the dead. I believe you have the power to forgive me of my sins. And I realize I have walked opposite of you. And so now I repent of that and I turn to you. By grace, God forgives. By faith, I repent. By grace, God forgives. By faith, I seek. We seek. In other words, it says, seek first the kingdom of God. Everything else will be taken care of. By faith, I seek to know Jesus more. I seek to know him through scripture. I seek to know him through prayer. I seek to know him through community. As I seek, then God reveals. He reveals. When God called me to be a pastor, I wasn't asking what he wanted me to do with my life. I just wanted to know him. I just wanted to know him. And as I got to know him, then he told me, by the way, this is something I want you to do. By faith, we obey. God says, I want you to do this. I want you to live this way. I want you to step out in faith. And so we do, and he equips. And if you know God, he usually equips you at the moment that you step in faith and not before. When you hear God call you to do something, and you feel like Brock and Jenny did, that conviction in your heart that this is something we should step into, he will enable you to as you step. And then we keep going. Because just because you step into it doesn't mean everything's easy. You're stepping into a battle. You're stepping into opposition. You're stepping into a battle, a minefield of ways where the enemy is going to try to take that. So we keep going. As we do so, he empowers you to keep going more and more and more and more. Friends, I've been here 22 years, almost 23. Has no testament to me. Has everything to do with how good God is at equipping and empowering and leading. He gets all the glory. Anything that is not good, that was me. Everything else, that's God. Okay? Are you with me? Can we wrap up? Yeah. Two of you still with me. Okay. So as we close our study on Hebrews, it says this, may the God of peace, let's read it together, equip you with everything good for doing his will. Can you personalize that? May the God of peace equip me with everything good for doing his will. Let's do that. Ready? May the God of peace equip me with everything good for doing his will. What if you prayed that every day? The second thing, and may he work in me what is pleasing to him. Would you say that with me? May he work in me what is pleasing to him. Friends, if you prayed that in all earnesty, in all seeking the Lord every day, you would meet God in new ways. God, I know you're the God of peace. And I raise my hand and say, I'm here, and I'm willing. May you equip me with everything good for doing what you want. And may you work in me what is pleasing to you so that I can live a life that's pleasing to you. So as we close this study on Hebrews, we find that everything that we have seen Jesus do, everything that we've seen him continue to do, how he holds the universe together, and how he came to rescue the lost, how he stands as a great high priest, all these things that he's come to do, and how he's going to continue to do, is also to take shape in me and in you. In our youth, in our adults, in everyone. It's to take shape in us and through us for his kingdom and for his glory. And so once again, as you are here, you may say, you know, yeah, God has me here for a reason, right? Do you believe that? There's probably a part of you that says this. I'm not ready. I just I just need to know the Bible more. If I just had a better outline of the faith, Chris, and I knew what to say anytime anybody asked me a question, and had all the answers, then I would be able to go and do whatever God wanted me to do, right? I just need that. I used to go to this barber. He's dead now, it's not part of the story, but he's no longer there. But he had this sign, and it took me forever to get. He has a sign on above the mirror, and it says, "Free haircuts tomorrow." I was like, how can he do that? It took me a while. And because if you come in, it's always free haircuts tomorrow. And if you come back the next day, it's still free haircuts tomorrow. Okay? And a lot of us treat God with that kind of aspect. Yeah, God, I'm willing to do what you want tomorrow. And the problem with that mentality is that if we do that, we will never get out of the mud and onto the track. I remember being in this rider van, this thing, it was death traps, a tornado behind us as we crossed from Kansas into Colorado, honestly. And I remember riding into Belma around the corner on Southside 20-some years ago, June of 2001, pulling into this community around that corner by the Melba Valley Market. Now Jackson's used to be something else and something else before that, right? As I pulled into there, coming here to be pastor, knowing that I am none, I said, I don't know if I said it out loud, but it was really, really loud in my head and my heart. Oh God, I hope you know what you're doing. And I still say that. Because I don't. I hope you know what you're doing, God, because I don't. Yeah, I went to school. Yeah, I've read a lot of the Bible, but I don't know. I don't know how to do this. I still don't know how to do this. Some of you know that firsthand. But is it possible, friends, that the God who created the universe and put all the stars in its place in this magnificent plan, with the giraffes and that crazy ostrich bird, and the beautiful fish, the birds, all the things that God created, the mountains and the waterfalls and the beaches, is it possible that the God who did all that might be also able to give me what I need to be able to do something for him? When I say I'm not ready yet, what I'm saying is, God, you're not capable. It's not about you. It's about him. Get out of the mud, to be on the race, to run the race of life. I hope that you don't just hear these words and say, yeah, those are good words. I hope you hear them and you're convicted deep within. I hope that even now the Holy Spirit's telling you, yes, this is what I have for you. And if you're not hearing that yet, spend more time seeking him. We see in 2 Corinthians 5:17, what's it say? Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. And so we do this. We have this opportunity this morning. What do we do? Well, one, have you surrendered your life to Jesus? If you haven't given your life to Jesus, if you haven't repented, then really the rest of this is kind of doesn't matter yet. The first part is giving your life to Jesus. Receive his grace and mercy. Wash your sins away. Get pulled out of the mud, not to return to him. So you can walk this new life with him. Then the question is, are you willing? Are you willing to raise your hand like that kid in the front row in class? Always raise your hand. Always have the answer. Are you willing to raise your hand before God and say, you can pick me. Now I will do what you want me to do. You may feel like you're old and you have nothing left to offer. That's never true. So God worked with Abraham, and his wife was well along in years. And so God picked them. And God worked with many people who are young and old and all the ways in between. Are you willing to just say, yes, Lord, use me? We do this, Lord, I lift my hands and surrender. Because I have nothing, Lord Jesus, to give. I have nothing to offer. I have nothing of my own, Lord. I am a mess. I don't know what I'm doing. But Lord, at the same time, I open my hands to receive. Because you are the God who can do anything. You put the stars in the place that they're at. You command the morning. You command this earth to stay where it's at, to rotate at the rate it's at. You command it all. And Lord, you command us to wake in the morning. You give us breath in our lungs. Lord, I believe that you can give me what is needed to be a part of your kingdom here on earth. So Lord, I receive that today. Amen. I invite the worship team to come up. And as they do, and we read this prayer together. Abba Father, yes, I say again, yes. I say yes to your gift of salvation. I say yes to your Holy Spirit. I say yes to Jesus. I say yes to growing to know you more. I say yes to using my life to bless others. I say yes to the call that you have for me, even if it is one more time. Such an important part of that prayer. And Father, give me a spirit of willingness to follow you. Give me special moments of treasured time with you. Give me your courage, but also please give me your forgiveness when I fail. You guys can be here. Help me to say yes to your church and take steps to love those around me. In all this, may your kingdom come. Your will be done. Amen. Amen.